Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Does this sound familiar to you? And if you don't know, it is the theme tune to the Australian animated series Bluey, which has won widespread adoration and a cult-like following from children and adults alike over the past three seasons. And it got us thinking about the sheer number of cartoons and TV shows available to children these days. But the question is, do some rank better than others when it comes to the right mix of fun, education and entertainment? And if you're a parent who constantly finds yourself doing a battle with children over screen time, worrying as well what they should and shouldn't be watching, we have some children's TV programmes that get the stamp of approval from mums and dads. And I'm joined in the studio now by Sinead Fox of the Bumbles of Rice blog and Kevin Power, author and academic. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us. Your children are a bit older, Sinead, so you've been through this, right?
Absolutely.
You're out the other side.
Absolutely.
Where do you stand, though, on screen time? Because we know the HSE guideline is that we should have zero screen time for children under 18 months. Isn't that right?
Yeah, the HSE recommend that. I don't think anybody recommends screen time for younger children, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. You have to be a little bit real about things, especially if there's older siblings. The TV will be on. They'll start to watch it. You don't realise necessarily that they're paying attention to it. But you know, we watch, we keep an eye on what they watch, and we always have not too much of it at certain times, but you will use it to keep them engaged.
Can you remember, though, when your children started to become interested in TV?
Yes, and you don't realise until we went to a local farm, Kiora Farm in Goree, and my son went up and went, Sam, and we didn't know he knew Fireman Sam, but Fireman Sam was there, and then we realised, oh, he has been paying attention to what we've been putting on. He's about a little over a year, I think, at that stage.
Right, so it already was there
the
at that time.
The stuff goes in, it does go in, and they learn stuff from it. It keeps them a little bit busy if you're trying to chop the onions to get the dinner on or something like that as well.
Yeah, so. And it's really interesting to see what they are interested in. There's no in our house, we noticed, first of all, when our eldest was just over one, that In the Night Garden, that BBC programme, was the one that absolutely held him in thrall. You couldn't get him away from it when it was on, Kevin, but it was a really nice one and we felt comfortable. That's the whole question, isn't it? What do you feel comfortable with your children watching?
Yeah, I think In the Night Garden is a big hit in our house as well. Even though to the kind of parental eye, it seems disjointed, surreal and,
trippy
is the word. Yeah. But it's also kind of hypnotic. And it's people who are responsible for that show, it's the same people who made Teletubbies, which was kind of a previous generation of toddlers were obsessed with Teletubbies. But it's designed so beautifully to appeal to the toddler mind or the sort of, you know, 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old.
Well, you'd love to know the science behind it, because the child will just walk away if they're not interested.
Exactly. So there is some level, it is like hypnosis, that they will watch it. But there's different levels of things as well. Like, they're nice, gentle ones. And if you think of Teletubbies and if you think of some of the soundtracks of them, they're nearly lullabies in the background, some of them, with the odd kind of high-pitched noise. But Night Garden, Teletubbies, they're very, you know, little quiet jingles in the background, calm.
But that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid them becoming hyperactive if they're watching something that's going to drive them round the bend, right?
Exactly. At bedtime.
Well, at bedtime. I mean, The Night Garden is sort of designed to help you as a parent guide your child toward bedtime. Whether or not it's successful is an open question. It tends not to work that well, I think, in our heads, really. But a bedtime story is more effective.
Absolutely. Like, you can't, like, I know CBeebies have the bedtime story, but I think the bedtime story with the child tucked under your arm, you still need that to get you to the level of calm. The TV won't necessarily do it for you. It might help you in the wind down.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about knowing everybody in Paw Patrol, all of the characters, intimately now at this stage?
Well, I have some problems with Paw Patrol for the way in which it's sort of, you can read it as kind of propaganda for, authoritarian tendencies in the human world, the grown-up world rather. But I mean, you know, my view on this is that it's kind of hypocritical to deny children screen time when we as adults simply do not deny ourselves screen time. Mm-hmm. And we project a lot of our own guilt about our screen time habits onto our children.
Really, do you point, do yeah. quality control on what they're watching?
Oh, I mean, you have to. Yeah. I mean, my daughter's 3.5 and you know, I'm I still live in her world and she lives in mine. So, you know, there will come a time when that's not as true as it is now. But I know where her attention is going. I know where it is. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. So hold the remote.
Yeah. You have to kind of scan something and make sure that it's not going to introduce them to emotions that they won't know how to kind of process or regulate or articulate. That's what's important.
Cocomelon. That's one I want to talk about. This is a controversial one. And if anyone is unfamiliar with JJ and his family, let's take a listen to a little bit of Cocomelon now. Bed, bed, it's time to get in bed.
Yes, I want to get in bed.
Good, sleep is good. Yeah, you had a physical reaction there, Kevin.
That song has taken up residence in my head.
Does your daughter like this thing?
Yes, very much so. She was singing it the other morning to her bagel. She loves Cocomelon.
And why is it so controversial? Why do people have an issue with it?
I mean, it has no kind of real moral or educational content. I mean, but not that I object to that as such. I mean, people need pleasure in their lives, and we all need entertainment. And kids that's equally true of children, even very small children. But I think from a parent's point of view, Cocomelon is a kind of, it really feels like the soundtrack to your nervous breakdown. Those kind of those twinkly, endless songs that
they get replaced with other ones, like the Paw Patrol one. Yeah. They get a bit bigger, and there's always one that will send you over the edge. I'm living in the TikTok world at the moment. I've a teenager, 11 and 9, and the things move so fast at the soundtrack. There'll always be something that your children play that are just the thing that you can't do.
So are they watching that on their own devices?
Yeah,
now?
So a 13 has his own device. The 11-year-old does under much stricter supervision, and my 9-year-old uses an iPad with time limits.
How do you control that? Because I have that on restricted mode,
yes.
But I notice that quite a lot of swearing still manages to escape the restricted mode.
So YouTube Kids is a good way to kind of restrict some of it. And the Netflix has child profiles. Mm-hmm. So
but on TikTok specifically?
I don't allow my 11-year-old TikTok.
Okay, so, how does that go down?
Not very well, because apparently his brother did have it when he was 11, but we didn't understand certain things that are on it. It's very difficult to restrict TikTok. Mm-hmm. However, he's a very clever 11-year-old. He'll love listening back to this. But YouTube Shorts has TikToks just put into YouTube for people whose mummies and daddies don't let them have TikTok.
Okay, sneaky.
Kids are clever.
See, I find, because we've kind of moved on in our house age-wise as well from this Cocomelon and Peppa Pig, which we'll talk about in a minute. And now my children are watching everything on YouTube Kids.
Yes.
And it's really interesting to see what they'll choose. Like watching people play Roblox.
Oh my goodness.
And I will never understand that.
No. But maybe it's like room to improve for us, or maybe it's like some of those, like, you know, real life where it's aspirational. I wish I was as good as them at this. Mm-hmm. And I know they do get hacks and Easter eggs. I do listen sometimes.
Well, the small person who watches people playing Roblox has never played Roblox and probably never will.
But can talk Roblox in the playground.
Absolutely,
maybe
yeah.
That's what it's about, yes. Keeping up with it.
Now, Peppa Pig. Let's talk about Peppa Pig. Controversial because Daddy was always a bit stupid, wasn't he,
yeah.
In Peppa Pig?
Yeah, and they make fun of him. They fat shame Daddy Pig. They do, like, there's no question.
They do, and Daddy Pig, you know, he has no DIY skills. And he is,
that's the best episode, though.
He's, you know,
the wall.
Deeply unfit. If he even kind of jogs a little bit, he turns red and starts sweating and so on. And you know, I mean,
relatable.
Will we have a listen? This is Peppa giving Daddy Pig a hard time about his weight.
Say the secret words.
Daddy's big tummy.
That's right. Daddy's big tummy.
I think those are silly secret words.
Say the secret words, Daddy.
Can I have different secret words, please?
No.
Oh, all right. Daddy's big tummy.
Popular in your house, Kevin?
Oh, Peppa is extremely popular.
Really popular. And even still in our house, they love it.
Yeah. Mine pretend that they hate it since about senior infants because it's not cool
yeah,
to say that
but
you
they
like
still
Peppa.
Sneak a watch,
but
don't they?
They'll still talk about it. And even, you know, that's around since my 13-year-old was little. He was into Peppa. And it's still, you know, we still talk about Miss Rabbit. Isn't she amazing? She does every job in the world. And, you know, you talk about the different ones of them and it's a kind of like, I suppose, a cultural reference nearly in our house.
Yes.
Everyone knows it.
What are the ones, Kevin, that you like, that you enjoy watching?
Peppa is an absolute standby in our house. And I like Peppa, I do. I got in trouble on Twitter recently for complaining that a book about Peppa going to Ireland was covert British imperialist propaganda.
Can't get away with criticising Peppa.
It ended up in the Daily Mail. I was the man who cancelled Peppa. But I didn't mean to, because I love Peppa. I want to say that officially now while I can.
Right, we leave it there. Kevin loves Peppa. Kevin and Sinead, thank you very much indeed for coming in. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Today's programme produced by Niamh Lyons. Research by Ciarán Dunn. Our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr-Ross. Aisling Gofferty was on sound today. It's over to Ronan.